Mr. Serial Killers. That's what we delved deep into today on Sid
There we
Talk.
go.
There
Can you
we
make
go.
that the title?
M&M's are serial killers?
Yeah. But spell
I'm gonna
cereal
put it
like
in here.
breakfast cereal.
Yeah. Searle.
Serial killer.
Excellent.
Excellent.
Sexual
man.
Healing.
I'm glad we get to still hang out, and even if we don't work together for much longer, I think we should still do this.
Is that an admission of you leaving? For real?
No. Okay. No. This is Sit Talk, everybody.
Sit Talk.
Hey, I'm Kyle.
It's Kendrick.
Joe.
Kyle. Oh, guys. Go ahead. Are you going to say Kendrick again?
No, it's Kendrick.
Oh, just going to do the cycle. Kyle.
Kendrick.
Joe.
So, is anybody on the level with like the crazy kinds of M&Ms that are offered nowadays? First of all, do you guys even eat M&Ms anymore?
I haven't eaten an M&M in a while.
I haven't eaten M&Ms because I'm trying not to be a fatty fat, and I've got bad teeth.
Same.
But they're all fixed now, but I'm trying not to get them bad again. But I am aware that there's just like a bunch of bonkers, crazy shit M&Ms now. There's like caramel,
I can tell you all the ones that I've seen.
And sriracha.
Well, you know you apparently know way more crazy M&Ms than I do.
Oh,
like,
sweet. You go for
it. I was just talking about like, yeah. Yeah, no, apparently, we can move on. I didn't really think that it's going to...
Sorry.
No,
I remember when they used to have the crisp rice ones. Do they still make those?
The crunchies? Yeah. The crunchy M&Ms? Yeah.
Those were good.
So I went to the store the other day, and like much like a person, I'm like one of those people, if you guys probably already know this, but I don't know if our audience does, I try bad food all the time. So like if Taco Bell comes out with a new crazy creation, I'm usually there like trying it. You know,
we
if,
made a quadruple gordita. The quadita. Before.
I got
we,
it.
We also,
every time I
in,
go to Good Times, I order their new shit. Every time. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, who it
in,
was. Like,
when we were in college, we went together on a sojourn to the next city so that we could try the KFC Double Down
when
it first
An
came
hour
out.
An hour drive each way.
Yeah.
And if I remember correctly, we each ate a Double Down, and then we went and had dinner.
Yeah,
and
real
we went
dinner.
Home.
Yep.
And
we did.
I don't know how I survived that.
But so, like, and like, so that's the, like, and again, I'll pitch this real quick in the middle here. If you haven't had Wendy's breakfast, go try it because it's absolutely the best fast food breakfast, in my opinion. But my God. They should serve the breakfast potatoes they make all day. Like, they should serve them and get rid of their french fries. But,
words.
Yeah, no, I 100% am. If you haven't tried Wendy's breakfast, break your fast, if you will, and go there and try it. So,
got to get over there.
I'm a really big fan of like pretzel M&Ms and the crispy M&Ms, like you said, Kendrick. Those are like the coolest, best texture. The pretzel M&Ms are a little bit salty. They're really good.
Yeah.
They came out with caramel M&Ms. Those aren't new, but they're newer. And they're basically just M&Ms that have caramel in the middle. So
I want you to continue
kind of
what
thing.
You're saying, but I just want to put in a small. I want to come back and talk about that specifically on one small point. But continue.
Okay. Apparently, they've gone banana fucking bonkers on the M&M flavor. So like you know
Wait,
how every
hang
year.
Hang on, real quick. Banana fucking bonkers.
Yeah,
that's a flavor
is
of
that,
M&M.
I'm putting that on the band name list.
Banana Dude, fucking bonkers is a hyphenate. Yeah, it's one.
Where
long
where are the words? Is it banana fucking? Or is it banana fucking bonkers? Like,
it's like
it...
banana hyphen fucking hyphen bonkers. Like, it's...
right. But what I mean is it like banana bonkers and you interjected a superlative
yes,
by
that's
putting
what's
fucking?
Happening.
Or are you actually fucking a banana?
No, there's no fucking bananas in this house because I like to eat bananas, so. And I don't like to eat them all cummy and stuff, so.
Okay, fair enough. Go on.
you wanted me to. I know you just wanted me to say the word cummy. That's the
I,
whole.
That's comment. Not what I was going for. I just wanted to see where it went.
All right. It's like you know how every year Lay's comes out with their like Mountain Dew does it too. They come out with their like special flavors of the year. Like,
yeah, buy
that's
shit
how you get
those goes away.
Nutso crazy. Lay's flavors that you never wanted.
Chicken
like,
and waffles.
Chicken and waffles are like.
We made these ones taste like pickles and feet.
Like, yeah, like, yeah, exactly. So you get it. Okay, so apparently M&M is doing that. The craziest things I've seen in Google searching shortly are vanilla cream or with white chocolate, white cheesecake M&Ms, hot cocoa M&Ms. They have hazelnut M&Ms now. They have like
pumpkin
dark
spice,
chocolate, blah blah blah. Right. So I'm a fan of trying them every once in a while when I get them. You got the regular flavors too. Almond M&Ms are good if you've never had them. They still have crispy M&Ms, I think. Coffee nut, and the new ones I saw that are getting a little bit crazy, and not in a bad way, just a little crazy, are English toffee peanut.
Wow.
Right. Which I think could be good because I'm a big fan of Heath bars.
That sounds good.
That could be really good. Yeah.
Hazelnut spread, like I was saying before. Hmm. They have pumpkin pie and candy corn for the seasonals. The ones
I had the pumpkin pie ones.
That put me in a really interesting loop were brownie M&Ms. Because M&Ms are already, and this is just maybe me. I'm not the biggest fan of just straight chocolate all the time, and I get made fun of it for it a lot. But
you're wrong. That's fine.
These are fudge brownie M&Ms, and I have them at my house, and I only ate half the bag because they're pretty rich.
Yeah, you make chocolate richer.
Yeah, but they're pretty good. I mean, they're on fleek with the flavor though. They definitely taste like fudge brownie. But I was like, I knew picking this bag up, I was gonna be like, I'm not gonna be able to finish this whole bag.
You start to pick it up, but you need to get a better grip on it because it's so heavy.
Right.
Oh.
Oh, geez.
You pick it up, like you pick up the bag itself, and you're like, my arteries.
Exactly.
I have a heart.
So I just figured I would tell you guys that there's these fudge brownie M&Ms. I don't necessarily think they're that good, but if you like fudge brownie, they're amazing. Like,
I have a feeling I'd really like them because I do like fudge brownies.
Yeah, so, dangerous. But yeah. I keep oscillating between like not having a sweet tooth because that's also how I'm trying to lose weight, and it's easy. I can jettison sweet stuff mostly, but then I also just had half a shake from Five Guys, so like, I'm not trying that hard.
My cyclical problem is this. I'm a chronic overeater, right? So like, I overeat usually when it comes to like meals. So if I eat something that's far too like MSG salty, I can't get that taste out of my mouth, and so I need to eat something sweet. But as opposed to just having like one cookie, I make like some Pop-Tarts.
You eat like a pie.
And then sometimes it goes back the other way where I'm like, oh God, now I need like a pepperoni or something. Like,
right.
Yeah. So I don't know how to balance that, but I totally understand that. Like, I'm not usually a sweet tooth unless I've had so much salt that my body's drying out. And then my body's like,
now I need sugar.
Yeah, exactly. Not water, but just sugar.
Right.
I'm a snacker, and I also have no concept of portion control, like portion sizes. Like,
same.
Let's see. How much of this leftover rice and chicken should I put? 6 cups? Yeah, that's about right.
Seems right.
Yeah. 2 kilos, right? That's a good amount for a lunch.
I mean, it sounds right to me.
Yeah, math checks out.
All right, so what were you going to say about caramel M&Ms,
so,
Joe?
So, caramel M&Ms have the most... Okay, so I got to preface this first. Like, the M&Ms advertising, like, they have their own kind of, like, lore and universe, right? Because the M&Ms are like living creatures. Like they're
sentient.
Yeah, they're sentient. They have thoughts and feelings, and they're terrified of being. Yeah. The cover of the bag is, with that knowledge, the scariest fucking one they've ever done, because it's the red one and the yellow one, and they're both holding half of an M&M, and the entrails are spelling the word caramel. With the caramel that's inside. And if you think
about this once?
Maybe we did. Because if you look at that for a second and just think about it a little too long, you're like, no. Oh, you're like, They just split that guy apart. And in the commercials, there's like a caramel character, and he's voiced by, what's his name? David Cross in the commercials.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I'm just like, so they like jammed him inside of a shell, because there's also an orange M&M, so they like put him together, and then they like ripped him apart. What the fuck is happening here?
I dropped a picture into the chat.
Yeah,
but I remember it later. That is unsettling.
Yeah,
it's like they're tearing a child in half.
Yeah,
yeah, it is. The M&Ms are serial killers. That's what we delved deep into today on Sid's.
There we go. Can you make that the title?
M&M's are cereal killers?
Yeah. But spell cereal like breakfast cereal.
Yeah.
Cereal.
Cereal killers.
Oh, was trying to think of something I did lately. So I got a smoker. Did I tell you? You guys see that in the chat?
I have seen your smoking habits.
Yeah, I just got into smoking really hard. I'm a vape guy now.
Real quick, before you do that, before you go into this, sure. I just saw another picture. I'm going to post it in here, and I want you to look at it real quick because it's for the salted caramel.
Wow. And, I didn't know there was salted caramel. That's legit.
Yeah,
but
that's legit. But salted caramel M&Ms, I got Kate's attention. But the part I want to point out is that the same colored M&M that's in the one being torn in half
is
holding an M&M, and then at his feet is the yellow M&M that's been cut in half, and he's sprinkling salt onto it, and he doesn't look terribly stoked about it. He looks like somebody cleaning up after a murder.
Not even that. It's just like I have to get rid of all this. They told me that this helps like
the
sawdust over the blood.
Exactly. He looks so uneasy. Yeah. That does not look like a product I want to buy.
Yeah, you're right. They shouldn't have put the orange, the David Cross orange M&M on the cover, because he's like the most insecure M&M, which isn't really the feeling you want to portray when you're trying to sell M&Ms that are terrible for you anyway.
And it's the same color. Excuse
that's
me.
Getting ripped in half.
That's getting ripped in half. So it's like they ripped off his arms and legs and then tore his torso apart.
Do you think that's like the M&M thing? Like, is like they're all like just clones of each other, and they just constantly kill each other, kind of like Spy versus
like Mr.
Spy.
Meeseeks or something?
Yeah,
maybe.
And like they're just killing each other all the time, and every M&M cover is just the revenge that one gets on another, or like the initial killing. It's just like the artistic gallery of all of their murders.
Turns out Reddit actually has the human version, which is horrifying.
Oh dear God.
Yeah,
you should definitely link that in the channel.
Please put that.
I want to see
not
it.
Not doing that.
Send it to me and Kyle specifically.
All right, I'll put it in the channel, but I'm not putting it on the.
Yeah, you guys look that up for yourself.
Yeah, you can find that yourself if you really want to. I'm not. That's gross. That's really gross.
So okay, I don't want to have too much dead air.
No. Sorry. Go ahead and start talking about your thing.
So I don't know about you. Oh my. Sweet fucking Jesus. Okay.
Why is Ness in it?
The smoking. Oh God, help. So do you guys, like, I don't know how often you guys get new cooking utensils or, like, cooking apparatus?
Not for a little while. We were looking at getting a new grill here in the near future.
But, like, doing it for the first time, and I don't know about you guys, is, like, a little bit intimidating for me. So, like, I have to get over, like, an inertial barrier to try something like that the first time. That inertial barrier comes with, like, me just needing to know how to, like, handle the instrument and, like, making sure I'm using the tool correctly, right? Like, I don't want to mess it up. I don't want to do my first cook and, like, have it mess up. So, like, I tried sous vide for the first time the other day as well. Yeah. And that was an interesting experience because I was very concerned about, like, if I was going to do it right. But because – and I guess we'll go on this topic because the smoking thing's pretty overdone. But have you guys ever done sous vide before or
no.
eaten it?
I don't even know what
that is. Probably have eaten
it. I've eaten it, I think. I just haven't.
As far as I heard, a lot of restaurants actually sous vide stuff because it's easier to cook that way because it's more consistent temperature-wise and it's not as hard to get something medium.
Well,
a lot of fancy restaurants.
I watched a video of a guy sous vide-ing a steak for a week.
Oh yeah, I remember you saying that.
Yeah, and it wasn't like disgusting. Like
it got a little
soft. But so if you think about it, if you had say you planned on selling 50 steaks tonight, you could get 50 steaks up to rare,
mm-hmm.
and then grab them out of the bags and chuck them on the flat top to crust them up.
Because that's the whole gimmick, right?
Like, you could turn around steaks really quickly and really consistently. So it kind of makes sense if you plan on eating them all.
And the sous vide, what sous vide is, Joe, is basically, like, for lack of a better analogy, hard boiling. So you put whatever you're going to cook into a bag and either use the displacement method, which is where you use water to push the air out of the bag, or you use a vacuum system.
I believe like the term is French for under vacuum.
Yeah, and
okay,
that's cool. I didn't know that. And then you put that into a water bath. It's called circulated water heating. Like, so the sous vide apparatus is like a thing that moves water. It like pulls it in and pushes it out, but heats it on the inside.
It's
right?
An immersion heater with a pump.
Immersion. There you go. Immersion heater, circular immersion heater or some bullshit like
cool.
that.
Cool.
The type of cooking is like circular water thing, and it's an immersion heater. Anyway, it's you set the temperature and you set the time, and the more modern models have they hold temperatures really well, so you can have a consistent heating the entire time you cook. And it cooks about the length that you would cook in, like, some crock pots. It's a little bit shorter than that, but...
Yeah, it's not fast.
No. But it gives you perfect texture and, like, perfect cooking. So it's not, like... It cooks the entirety of the meat the same way. And then usually, like Kendrick said, you take it out and you fry it, you sear it.
Yeah.
You do something to the outside to give it texture and flavor, more flavor. Or else it's just like a weird gray lump of meat. So
yeah. Sorry, so some of the technical elements of this, just because I have been following it for a while, is what you are doing is providing what amounts to direct heat, but you're only heating it to the temperature. So you don't have to worry about overcooking it, because whenever you're cooking something in a pan, in an oven, in a boiling water, you're exposing it to a temperature above the temperature that you want it to be, so that it catches up there faster, because thermal energy transfer is faster if there's a greater disparity between the two temperatures, right?
Right.
Cold shit melts faster if it's in a really hot environment than if it's in a less hot environment, right? So typically, most forms of cooking leverage that. If you're going to simmer something, you're going to cook it low and slow for a while, but you're not worried about it getting wet. So if you want to poach an egg or something, you want to have just the right simmering water so that it cooks all the way through but doesn't form like a hard outer edge while the middle's still raw.
Okay.
Exact opposite when you're cooking a steak, which is where you want blast it with super high heat so that it develops a nice crust on the outside but does not convert all of the proteins on the inside to that dark gray color.
Yeah, because if your whole steak was dark and gray, it's not good, right? We've collectively agree that it's not as good as if it were cooked appropriately.
Most people don't like it that way. Yeah. Some people do, but whatever.
Yeah, and so, like, the benefit, yeah, like you were saying, it's that... I had to rethink about it, because, like, and just to interject a sec, I had to like, rethink about how I think about cooking, because, like, usually you cook and you don't really think about why you're doing it. You're like, oh, I'm heating it up, I'm putting butter on it, it's getting flavor, right? Like, but really the reason you're cooking is so you don't die, like, from eating the food you're eating.
Yeah.
It's, like, one of the main proponents of, like, why you cook things. And so, like, the second being the texture and all the stuff that comes in after you've, you know, effectively killed all the bacteria. And it's weird because usually you don't think about cooking things at, like, 130 degrees for, like, 3 hours, right? Because normally if you cook something at 130 degrees, the center would still be cold, right?
Yep.
It wouldn't work, because you'd cook it for like 15 minutes at 130 and your outside would be like weird and okay, and then inside would be like solid frozen still, depending on what you started with.
And depending on which system you used, your outside would either be soggy if you boiled it,
mm-hmm.
or dried out if you baked it.
Yep.
Because you still have the moisture loss.
I kind of had to relearn like why we cook things when I was sous vide, because I was like, this is really weird, like... Why am I doing this? Why am I taking this extra time?
Yeah.
And the extra time you take, though, is because of the perfect, like, the perfect texture.
And it's because, like, it takes that much longer to get the temperature to balance.
Yeah.
Because it if you have something that's only 2 degrees warmer, it takes a really long time for the last 2 degrees to move in. Mm-hmm. So the big value is it's in a sealed container, so it doesn't lose or gain moisture. And because... If you think about, and steak is always the example people like to use, because steak has a very visible cooking transition as you go, and can easily be overcooked. The raw red, technically not bloody because there's not a lot of blood left in it by the time you get it, but that raw bloody look is the proteins in the state that they are in when the animal has died, which means they're still functioning muscle fibers, essentially, right? When it's completely, dark gray, that means the proteins have been denatured. The heat caused them to break apart and reform into different strands, different tangled structures. The other way to think about this is eggs, right? Eggs are protein, mostly, among other things, and we talked about it a couple weeks ago, but when you cook them, they turn opaque because the different structures now are more tight, and you can't get light through it anymore. But the trick is, a lot of people don't understand is that that's not a function of time necessarily. It's a function of heat. Those proteins denature and reform at certain heat levels. So the rosy pink quality you want to get in a nice medium rare or medium steak means that some of the proteins have denatured, but not all of them. That has nothing to do with time. It has to do with the temperature. So if you're cooking in a cast iron that's 500 degrees, it will take a certain amount of time to get to the center of that steak before it burns it. But if you put it in a sous vide bag and you place that in a perfectly sealed container, and it can get to 130 and stay there for potentially hours, and you'll see the proteins stay parked at that state of denature.
And I put an image in the chat, and to his point, you can put this in the episode if you want, but basically what we're looking at right now for the folks who aren't on a way they can look at it is the sous vide meat has almost a full red texture through the entire steak, right? Where as a grilled piece of meat has that transitionary, like from the minor reaction surface through the meat till you get to like that kind of like perfect pink color. There's heat transfer, and the rate of transfer changes as the heat transfers up through the meat, right? So it's not perfectly the same texture throughout the entire piece of meat because of the way that the heat transfer works when you're doing it at that like high temperature short cook cycle to get the medium in the middle but have the outside still be seared.
Yeah. You can also use sous vide to make perfectly poached eggs.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah, you can do lots. But anyway, it's about 20 minutes, so let's stop there. But sous vide is cool, and it's kind of more gastronomy than it is cooking.
It is definitely gastronomy.
I think you said that, and I'm quoting somebody on the podcast. But it's pretty cool. It's cool to investigate, and it's an interesting way to cook. And
it's super fun if you want to take the time, is really what it is. You just got to take the time. But as with all things in time, it comes to an end, and we're going to stop now because we need to record more. So.
But like, I was learning so much about sous vide.
If you like steak, if you like sous vide, if you like your steak undercooked, overcooked, whatever, it doesn't matter. The best advice I ever heard was one of the YouTube channel, which is, it's your steak, eat it how you want. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, bye.
Bye.
Stop recording now. Stop listening. Wait.